Hi, good morning, everybody. And as always, thank you very much for coming. We really appreciate you taking the time out to come and see our results. But it's only 2 months since we last met. 2 months ago when we talked about the 100-day update from following the acquisition of SCA. We said we'll come back in 100 days. We came back exactly 100 days afterwards, and we've talked about the improvement in the synergy targets, improvement on the cost base, synergies, improvement on the cash, and improvement on asset disposals. But of course, they're all promises, and today we're going to show you the first signs of what can really be achieved in the new enlarged business. So we're talking about our half-year results to the end of October, 6 months, of which 4 months included the SCA acquisition. And look, we're pleased. There's no doubt about it. You doubled the size of the group. The good news was we had nearly a year to think about the SCA acquisition, from when we first thought about it to approaching SCA to completing the acquisition. So it's been a lot of planning. So we're pleased with progress, but it's all due to the planning. And since 2010, we have continued to grow, both organically, consistent organic growth in volumes across our markets. We've grown again, despite the inclusion of SCA, who've always been at a flat position. Despite exiting business, we've continued to grow. We've improved our business mix over the last 2 years. Used to have spices, used to have some more paper assets, and we've really been focusing into the FMCG sector in packaging, all behind that business. Differentiating through adding value, the way we're thinking of our customers, improving the service, bringing more product development in what is a very exciting area of packaging development in a market that's been so fragmented. It's always suffered from a lack of real innovation and investment in the right products and service for our customers. We have built the pan-European supply base with the acquisition of SCA, and prior to that, the acquisition of Otal. And we started delivering returns. It's a very, very tough market out there. We set objectives 2 years ago, return on sales, organic growth, return on capital employed, and we'll see again how we've got in that. But I do think it's the start. We've had SCA for 4 months. We're pleased. The integration's going well, and there's momentum in the business. You know, it's a very challenging environment, but people in the company, they know they're winning, and there's nothing like success to build further momentum and further opportunity. So what are those results for the half year? Well, our operating profit, it is adjusted for amortisation. It's prior to the exceptional cost, up 57% to 123 million. That is a 7.4% return on sales. Remember, SCA was last year was 5.8. It's just over 7%, so we've driven that return. PBT up 62%, our EPS up 16%, despite the dilution for 2 months in May and June, where we'd obviously raised all the equity for the SCA acquisition, but we didn't have the earnings. Our primary measure, that return on average capital employed, up 80 basis points to 13.7%. The free cash flow, you know we focus on this. We've talked about it before. It's up 175% to 151 million in the 6 months to October. The net debt, again, getting the balance sheet strengthened, 2.1 times EBITDA. We set the target for 2 times by the end of this financial year. And on the back of all of that, we put the dividend up 32%. We've got a very clear dividend policy, and that's fully in line is what we stated before. Steve.
Thank
So good morning. I'm Steve Dryden, Finance Director at DS Smith. So I'm pleased to report another 6 months of consistent value creation. Strong cash generation has allowed us to pay down debt following the acquisition of FCA Packaging. Free cash flow is up 175% to 151.8 million. Free cash flow per share, 16.5p. And a significant benefit there is coming, as I'll show you later on, from working capital reduction. And this strong cash flow means that net debt to EBITDA is now 2.1 times. So we're well on track to be below 3 times by April 2013. Return on average capital employed is 13.7%. That's 80 basis points up. That's despite the inclusion of 4 months' ownership of FCA Packaging. This return is significantly ahead of our cost of capital at 9.5%. And the margin improvement in packaging, well, that's been subdued by the paper performance. But just remember, this is very much as we expected. This time last year, we said to you, we expect that in this financial year, paper will be break-even. And we set about making sure in terms of cost and efficiencies and structure that the company was strong enough for that. And lastly, dividend growth, 32%. As Marta said, that's completely in line with our policy, but well ahead of the earnings per share growth. As you see, obviously, revenue and profits are up strongly. And really, I'd wait until we come to the revenue and profit bridge slide so you can see the drivers behind that quite substantial increase in both revenue and operating profit. The margin at 7.4%, well, that's within our medium-term target of 7 to 9%. And then there, you've got the strength of the DS Smith business, and you've got the lower margin SCA business as the synergies come in and start to build up. Adjusted earnings per share, a 33.5 million increase. That's actually a 70% increase. And you can see there, when you look at the growth in earnings compared to earnings per share, the effect of having that dilution of 2 months without FCA Packaging in, but having the additional shares in issue coming from that rights issue. Asset turn maintained at 1.9 times. Again, I think that's a great result given the inclusion of FCA Packaging, which had a much lower asset turn. Return on average, and I mean that's a monthly, the average capital employed of every single month is up 80 basis points to 13.7%. It's important to see that we're focusing not just on profit and synergy delivery, but also driving cash out of the balance sheet every single month. If you look below operating profit, I think one of the things is net interest is only up 4.3 million to 14.8 million pounds. Obviously, the finance costs for the FCA Packaging acquisition in there, but they've been partially offset by hedge ineffectiveness benefit of 2.4 million. That's just a one-off in terms of this first 6 months. Amortization, that increased significantly by 13.7 million to 18.2 million. It's really the provisional fair value estimates of customer relationships and other intangible assets spread over a life of between 5 to 20 years. And there's actually a slide in the appendix just to show you how we have arrived at that non-cash charge in the income statement. Tax charge is 24%. It's calculated on the 87.9 million of profit before tax. It's completely in line with our previous guidance. The FCA acquisition integration costs, again, are in line with previous guidance. And there is a slide at the back just to break that out in more detail for you. And finally, profit from associates. That's the share of our after-tax profit of the 49.6% investment that we have in RKTK, that's our Ukrainian-based associate. Now the revenue bridge slide. That's in a format that I hope you're all familiar with. So last year, revenue was 1,035 million. Price reductions flowing through were 36 million pounds. The box volume, as you'll note, was up 6 million pounds. Paper volume is down 34.
And the FL foreign exchange, with the movement in the euro from a 114 average to a 125, that reduced our revenue by £61 million. Finally, FCA packaging, that contributed £762 million for the 4 months of the 6 months that we're reporting that we owned the business. So we finished that 6 months with revenue of £1672 million. So in the same format, here's the profit bridge. So last year we reported operating profit of £78.3 million. As in the previous periods, as you remember, in terms of our business model, we look to fully recover cost increases, but similarly, in a time of falling costs, we pass these nearly fully through. The corrugated box volume, that contributed £3.3 million to profit, while reductions in paper volume reduced profit by £14.4 million. Again, that is as we expected this time last year. The efficiency programme that we put in place, that contributed £3 million. And foreign exchange reduced our profits, our translated profits, by £3.5 million. Finally, for SCA packaging, those 4 months contributed £45 million of base profit and £10.5 million coming from the synergies. Again, I've showed them are coming across from SCA. The reality is that's across both SCA and the DS Smith, so across the combined business. William, this is your first chance to look at some of the segmental performance of the combined business. There's a few things I'd like to bring out. The UK margins have fallen by 250 basis points. But you should remember that in the UK, we have a long paper position. So as expected, that's what's reduced our UK margins. Western Europe's improved with a much better business mix flowing through from Belgium and Netherlands. DAC. DAC is Germany, Austria and Switzerland. But also in there, we've combined Northern Europe, so predominantly Denmark, Sweden. Delivers great returns. You know, the reality is, largely last year, when you actually look at the quantum of the numbers, is a very, very small comparator. The actual magnitude of the returns is obviously they're held back because in there we have a paper business based in Germany, and that is a very competitive market. Central Europe and Italy delivering good margins. They are reduced from last year because if you remember, we always explained to you how DS Smith made good margins in Italy and made great returns in Poland. Obviously with the FCA business, as we explained, it made lower returns in Italy and lower returns in Eastern Europe, and that's one of the areas that we're seeking to improve. Finally, plastics with a 9% margin, and that's another strong 6 month performance from our liquid packaging and dispensing business, or bag in box, as you most commonly see it described. So free cash flow up 175%. You can see there the strength of the cash flow coming through from the excellent working capital improvement with an inflow of £79.7 million. Again, I've got a slide later on just to show you the areas of that working capital improvement. Pension payments, so there's a like-for-like of the same year on year, but with various sundry asset disposals in there, just pulling down this year's cash payment. CapEx was up £28.1 million to £65.4 million. This is really important, because we are continuing, on the basis of this strong cash flow, continuing to invest in the business, primarily thinking about our FMCG customers and how do we support them. Tax paid increased very much in line with profit. Interest paid is less than what you'd see on the income statement. That's really due to the timing of the interest payments on the acquisition debt that we took on to finance the acquisition of FCA Packaging. So free cash flow, £151.8 million. 175% higher than last year. Free cash flow per share is up 7.7 pence to 16.5 pence. See here the scale in terms of the working capital improvement. Just to remind you, in terms of the last financial year, DS Smith was at 4.9% monthly average working capital sales, FCA Packaging 10.3%. So for the last 12 months, our working capital sales, we've got it to 5%. I think, you know, that's coming across all three areas: stock, debtors, creditors. I think one area improvement I would highlight is the stock. It's not the biggest, but it is the most difficult. It requires us to get commercial, operational and supply chain to start working together. And that's something that we're just starting to really develop. So it's really pleasing to see the DS Smith debtor days of 27, the FCA of 25, come down together to be a combined group debtor day average of 23.2. That's a significant improvement. Just looking at net debt, we started the year with a cash surplus, really the funds from the rights issue and the disposal proceeds from Spices. We obviously invested in FCA packaging, $1.3 billion of cash outflow, $152 million of free cash flow paying that down, FCA acquisition integration costs which flowed through into the first half on a cash basis of 38, other cash exceptionals of 9, meaning that we're finishing the year with net debt of $857 million. Net debt to EBITDA is 2.1 times, and our interest cover is 11.1 times. Quite importantly as well, we've got committed borrowing facilities of 1.4 billion sterling, and our next material refinancing is now 2016. So the group has got strong, secure funding taking us through until 2016. As we do every 6 months, we test ourselves on how have we performed against our medium-term targets that we set ourselves over 2 years ago. So on volume, our target is GDP plus 1%. What does that actually mean for DS Smith? It means our target for volume growth in terms of the markets and the economies that we're operating in should be plus 0.2%. We've actually delivered 0.5%. This is actually a good result. Because behind this, we've got a growing DS Smith. It's now a flat FCA packaging as we start to develop our business commercially. And equally, we've been looking hard at some of the lower margin business, as we said last time, where we don't think it's going to deliver good returns to shareholders, and gradually that's reducing. Margin is 7.4%. That's in line with our 7 to 9% range. Return on average capital employed at 13.7%. Again, that's in our range of 12 to 15%. Again, I think that's a great result when you consider that our investment thesis on FCA packaging in terms of year one was we will achieve our cost of capital, which at that time we said was 10%. That's a good return on capital employed performance. Cash conversion at 176%. Again, that's well ahead of target, but we're still continuing to invest in the business. The net debt to EBITDA is above target, 2.1 times. That we're committed to delivering that below 2 times by the end of April 2013. On the synergies, you know, this is very much the synergies that we stood up 2 months ago in this building and talked to you about. So on cost savings, our target is 100 million euros, and in the first 4 months we've delivered, actually in the profit result, 13 million euros. Again, that's coming evenly from SG&A and procurement. Cash savings, we said 130 million euros. We've delivered in the first 6 months here 60 million euros. So good, strong start there. Finally, disposal of assets. In terms of cash benefit in the first 6 months, nil. What I'm pleased to say is recently, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, for the Remedy disposals, which you'll remember that's the three businesses that the EU required us to dispose of within 6 months of acquisition. We've actually entered into contractual commitments, and that should deliver 55 million euros of income. So a good start against our target of 100 there. And again, we've got some of the things as surplus properties to come through there where we're making great progress. A little slide now on technical guidance. No change in the CapEx. Well, we reduced that when we last spoke to you from 160 to 150 million pounds. Interest rate, no change there, 4.4% for this financial year. Tax rate, again, no change there, 24%. One of the things I'd like to say just on the amortization, effectively when you do a fair value exercise, particularly when you've only owned the business for 4 months, There's an element of it being provisional, so we've made estimates on things like customer lists, goodwill, intangibles. We'll look to refine and make that more accurate through the second half of this year. Net debt to EBITDA, saying very clearly there, less than 2x by April 2013. Pension interest charge, up to be £6 million for this financial year. And lastly, just thinking a little bit about the seasonal split, if I may. Normally with DS Smith and the type of business and the markets we're operating in, you'd expect to see the H1, H2 split to be somewhere between 55 to 60% in H1. This year is quite different in the sense that we've got 4 months of SCA packaging in the first half, 6 months in the second half. So you'd expect to see that H1, H2 split to be far more even and balanced. Finally, our dividends. Our strategy is very clear, improving returns, reducing cyclicality. From that flows a stated dividend policy of 2 to 2.5 times cover through the cycle. So adjusted earnings per share is up 15.8%. Our interim dividend is up 31.6% to 2.5 pence. And the compound annual growth rate on the dividend over the last 3 years is 36%.
Thanks. Thank you, Steve. Excellent. It's excellent. So coming on to our business model and our review, this is a familiar slide to many of you. Consistent GDP plus growth, less cyclicality, higher margins, higher return on sales, and above cost of capital each and every year of our operations. Those are our objectives. I'm just going to run through in the following slides a bit about our business mix, where we are. There's a lot of work to do there to get it right. A bit more about our differentiation with our customers and how we're going to grow there. And about our synergies and some opportunities for further development. So the markets are tough, eh? We've just seen how Steve put up in his graph about how the weighted average GDP growth in of our countries we operate in was -0.8. So it's a very tough environment. That's the bad news. But before the good news is, that's exactly what we expected. I think if we said, when we were here 2 months ago, we said on the SCA acquisition, flat market, maybe over 10 years, 5% growth. The math isn't quite right, but perhaps that's roughly 0.5% per annum. And that's exactly where we are. So what do we do about that? We focus on the resilient areas. It's a very straightforward strategy. The fast-moving consumer goods, this is food and drink. People don't stop eating and drinking. We're finding that our corrugated demand, demand for corrugated packaging, continues to grow. It's taking share. We are increasing our exposure to the largest markets in Europe, particularly in Central Europe, and also some of the faster growing markets, such as Poland, which has never gone into recession. That's at the front end, and then it's all about the synergies coming through, that self-help, as we improve the balance sheet, we improve our cost base. We continue to invest heavily at a time when our competitors have cut back on investment. This is investment behind growing businesses. There's a lot of new technology coming through. It's what our customers want to see, and we're very happy to invest in it. And I'll come back later on and just talk about the level of paper integration. We are short, but we're not short enough. So the first point of that is business mix, where 60% of our revenues are now in FMCG. But our top 75 customers represent 25% of our turnover. If we go back to old DS Smith, our FMCG was over 70%.
go back a couple of years, it's actually just over 50%. So we grew it significantly over the last few years, and we aim to grow that again. We aim to grow the proportion of our business with large customers. I feel we're underrepresented there. They want the pan-European supply. We're starting to accelerate the growth of our recycling model on the continent, which I'll talk more about later. We collect the fibre from all the retailers, drive the growth of the use of corrugated in the retail supply chain. I said, and we'll talk about paper. So we are focused on packaging. That's what we're about. Short paper, the recycling model, supporting that. And these are reasons that we are reporting against UK, Western Europe, DACH, and Northern Europe, Central and Italy, and plastic. It's all focused. Everything is to deliver up to packaging. And the first part, the bottom platform of that on recycling. But why do we like this? Well, first of all, what is it? It is closed loop recycling. So we collect all the refuse from the major retailers. We don't just source it. Not to doubt they're just trying to buy to have some sort of relationship. We collect it. Our lorries, you've probably seen many of them driving around. Every Tesco, Morrison, Aldi, Primark, they're all there. We collect them every day. And this gives us the security of supply and fibre. It gives us the ownership of the raw material. What it also does is allow us to work with the retailer to show how corrugated takes costs out of their operations. It reduces the amount of warehousing space they need to store, typically in the past would have been plastic pallets, plastic containers, and it allows them to increase the rate of sale through the front end because of the shelf-ready packaging, so the product's always displayed properly. Less cost in loading up the shelves, and we show them how to use corrugated. They then demand that their suppliers, Procter, Unilever, Kraft, Nestle, they demand that they supply the product with shelf-ready packaging. This is why we use the recycling. It drives the growth of corrugated. We've got a fantastic position in the UK. We have a model that is just way out in front of anybody else. And when we look at the continent, we can see how to establish that as well. So we've now got the operations working in Eastern Europe. Every Tesco store throughout Poland, into Hungary, Czech, etc. We're now working with other retailers in those regions, and we're focusing very much in France and Italy as well. And we're very pleased with the response we're getting there. It fully supports the growth of our corrugated business. The retailers want us in there. We've got people on the ground there, and we expect to see that grow over the next few years. Differentiation through recycling. Differentiation through a very short paper position. Today, 70% of our packaging requirements are produced internally. That's too high. In the past, we've been 40 to 50%. And we're assessing how we drive that lower. And the reason is very simple, because the returns in paper are not attractive to our shareholders. We do not invest in building this. We do not believe it is a vital part of the business model at all, because you do not make your cost of capital on that. So our investors will not see us putting continued investment and growing, developing that business. It's short, but as a proportion of our packaging, it will be shorter. And transforming our commercial position. We now have a true pan-European footprint. Previously, we were in 7 markets. We're now fully operational in 15. And particularly when you look at the split of business, how it takes us into some very large areas. They're not just large in themselves in terms of they're just large and unattractive. They're large and many of our major customers can be centred there. They have their packaging or their supply chain operations there. And it's brought us right into their heartland.
We are very pleased with the response that we've been getting from our major customers. We thought when we made the acquisition, we thought we'd lose business. Because of an overlap, we've actually gained business. And then how do we actually make use of these markets? Well, we are seeing a corrugated volume growth in FMCG. It's been pretty consistent for us. In fact, when we made the acquisition of O-Tor in 2010, we showed our shareholders how FMCG volumes had evolved over the last 10 years. Consistent growth year on year without interruption from 2000 to 2010. Right the way through 2007, 8, 9. The volumes never stopped growing. This is the beauty of the market, because people don't stop eating and drinking, and we expect that growth to continue in FMCG corrugated, particularly as we use our recycling arm to show the retailers how it takes out costs, how it means less carbon for them, how it increases the rate of sale in their stores. And we think there are significant opportunities for us not only be part of that market, but to grow our share with our existing customer base. We're going to come back in the first half of our new financial year. In our next, there won't be our 100-day update, it'll be our sort of 300-day update, or however many days it is. And we're going to talk about our revenue side. When we're much more embedded in terms of our marketing, the product development, we'll come back and talk to shareholders about that. But there's no doubt we're pleased with progress. And again, these are some of the things we're pushing very hard. Mandrel Construction, developed by Deersmith France. This is, it's not about the box, it's the way the box is formed in the facilities of our customers. So if you're someone like Procter & Gamble, it's one thing to supply the box. It goes, how is the box constructed in their plants? In many ways, they're not so worried about the box, they're worried about the speed of their line. So we supply the machines that go at the end of their line. We're the only company to do anything like that in packaging. How we then work with those customers using the construction of the box in their plant, that improves the line run speed quite significantly. And we've been very, very pleased with the way that this has moved forward, and indeed the very attractive licensing agreement we've put in place with Rockhead in the States, the second largest supplier in the US, and to Deersmith for our technology. They're now installing that in the US. And on our flutes, we've installed it, we've talked about it a number of times. We continue to be very pleased with the progress, that new types of fluting. Doesn't take any cost out for us, but it takes a lot of cost out for our customers. That's why they want it, and that's why it's grown so nicely for us. And indeed, we continue to roll it out in the rest of the Smith business, installing it in some of the extra SDA plants because our customers say they want it. And plastic packaging is the business that is becoming an increasing part of Deersmith. We're a world-leading bag-in-box technology, and the reason we find this so attractive is because corrugated is underrepresented in the transportation of liquids. And the obvious reason is you've got a cardboard box. If it gets wet, it tends to fall apart. The beauty of a box is it is a box. And it's got a very good shape for transportation. You compare that to, say, a wine box, to a wine bottle. The bottle's round, which isn't a good footprint. It sort of narrows up to a neck. It's a very thin neck, so you're missing all that space as well. Compare that to a box. It's just a much more efficient way of transporting liquids. We're seeing continued strong growth in that market. We lead it. The margins and returns are very attractive. It is highly segmented, and we think that's going to continue growing. We really do. We're very pleased we've got that, and the main point is the complementarity with the corrugated box.
And then we're running through, so we've talked about our commercial position, our business mix. Just in terms of the synergies that Steve's outlined, you know, just where we are with SCA Packaging, you know, we have doubled the size of the group. The integration process is all going to our plan. I remind all our investors, the way we work, it's about learning from the new business. It's not about being twice the size. That isn't attractive to us. What is attractive is how much stronger the business model is. And that comes from learning from each other. The reason we upgraded the synergies isn't because we sort of sandbagged in the first place. It's because we asked the SCA guys, what do you think you can save with us? How can you be better? And we took their ideas and we built them with ours, and that's why the synergies went up by 33%. So we're creating a stronger business. You've seen the cash. The cost synergies coming through, as well as Steve's outlined. The strength of that business coming through, and when we look at the segmentation that Steve put up in the return on sales, when we first announced the deal, we said the problem areas, returns for SCA, were in France and in Italy and Eastern Europe. But we said we put our management across there. It's about how we're going to embed those businesses in us and how we know that we can improve them. And that's exactly what the shareholders are now starting to see. How we build a stronger business even when those businesses have been problematic. Our customers are good. The most encouraging thing is our employee buy-in. Without getting that sense of momentum, in sense of belief, in terms of success, it'll all start to peter away. We continue to receive very strong employee buy-in. We've recently done our employee survey a few months after the SCA acquisition. 87% of all our employees took half an hour of their own time to fill it in. 87%. There's some challenging questions in there, and we're delighted to receive them. It's about buy-in, it's about belief in the model. And let's not forget, it remains a highly fragmented market. We still own number three, we're just below number two in Germany. SCA have lost considerable volume in that market over the last few years. We think there's a lot of opportunity there, particularly as our model, the larger business, is stronger than the smaller players. So just remind people of that sense of fragmentation in the market. So in summary for us for the half year, we're pleased with the returns, and you can see that in the dividend, up 32%. The business is growing organically, but we're strengthening the model as well, and you'll see that in the return on sales and the return on capital. Well, a lot of self-help initiatives, we've just started on the synergies. This is a 3-year plan, so you'll see those coming through year on year, delivering what we said. And as you say in our outlook, current trading, everything is exactly as we set out before. No changes to anything. Even though the markets are very difficult and people talk about them coming off, we can see that. It's a very challenging environment. But we're staying exactly where we've been before. Thank you very much for your time, everybody. Now, we're very happy to take any questions people have, either myself or Steve. A microphone will come out. If I could just ask you to say your name and where you're from, and we'll take it from there.
Good morning. David Phillips from Citi. Can I just ask you about the top 25 customers and the rate of growth and volume there? I think you put a slide up in last year's full year talking about the rate of growth you were achieving. How's that been, and has there been any acceleration in Q2 or Q1?
The work over the last 4 months has been to build one front end for these customers. So previously, well, from shared customers, they have to bring them together so we've got one point of contact, one sales team, one innovation team, etc.
And that took 1-2 months to put in place. During that time, as I said, we've seen continued growth with those markets, with those customers. And in fact, their growth for the half year exceeded the growth of the group quite considerably. It's partly because they're taking share and we're taking share with them. But it's very early days. And what we really need to do is to build up exactly where we think we're going to go, what opportunities there are, and we will be outlining a lot more about that in the first half of next year. But it's been positive. Never assumed anything in the acquisition case. It's early days. But it's going as we expected.
Okay, thank you. And you've done well on the price adjustments to cover all your raw material. In fact, would you give any sort of guidance on how you see the second half developing on that front? Do you think it's more of the same, or is there a few headwinds you should start thinking about?
My slight problem with that is 2 weeks ago, the debate was OCC one of our input costs going up? And as of Monday, the debate was, is it coming off? And the visibility on input costs is frankly quite low. So I think the key issue for me is, can our business model react to those changes? As you know, in DS Smith, we spend a lot of time getting that period of price recovery down from 6 to 3, and we've got to do the same with FCA. That's something we're working on. So the key thing is visibility, frankly, of input cost movements is low, therefore the ability for the business model to react. And either pass back or recover is what's key, and that's what we set out to do.
Okay, thanks. And just ask about the comment you made about increasing your investment in recycling on the continent.
Mm.
How much capital do you think you would put in there on a 12-18 month view? Is it going to be buy and build, or do you think you can do a fair bit of it organically?
Well,
the organic side is really low, in the sense that, you know, the business makes very, very attractive returns on capital, if you think about it. So it's very low asset intensity to do things like forklift trucks or vehicles that, of course, be leased or contracted out. So the capital intensity to build a business organically is low. You know, one of the interesting things is we have managed with the FCA acquisition to have a number of physical locations. There's not enough there, so there will be certain bolt-on acquisitions, but they'll be relatively modest in terms of building a network of locations as opposed to necessarily trying to buy what can quite often be quite expensive recycling businesses when they get to scale, as we have. So we mostly are building out the country's physical infrastructure, either by bolt-on acquisition, which would be relatively modest, or by fixed asset investments. Again, they'll be relatively modest compared to the return on capital that you get them.
But is an 18-month time horizon a reasonable estimate for meaningful activity, or should we be thinking a bit longer?
No, I think the interesting thing is we started up in Poland with the DS Smith. It tends to be quite customer-led, and as Miles talked about that closed loop, we've got great relationships here for the FMCGs. It's more about some of the recycling business, building and strengthening our relationships with the retailers and establishing that closed loop on the continent. It takes time now. If we're going in with a service offering that they may not have been used to previously, that whole closed loop concept, and that takes time to sell through. But equally, once it's in, it's an incredibly strong proposition for people to come in and challenge against.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. It's Barry Dixon from Davy Research. Three questions, if I could. On the working capital, a very impressive performance, clearly, in terms of the working capital inflow. Steve, could you give us some sense as to the numbers around the debtor and creditor days? And I suppose, ultimately, is that improvement sustainable? Will I hold them and ask the other ones later?
Okay. Stock 25, debtors 20, creditors 35. Stock is, by virtue of being the hardest, is the most sustainable. Frankly, it's quite hard to achieve. Therefore, once you change business processes, that has to be a solid. Debtors is that's ever vigilant on overdues and keeping people's terms and resisting the extension of terms. Creditors, and also some of the things on the supply chain, vendor we were doing for exports to China, we were making sure we get paid when the boat leaves the UK rather than when it arrives in China, for instance. And on creditors, it's linked to the procurement fees effort. And you know, when we talk about that 100-day announcement, it's not just about unit cost, it's about extending terms. So as they are just going through the whole supply base, they're trying to renegotiate not just the unit price, but also another 30 days on the field. And they're doing well on that. But again, it's a continuous process of going through and building.
I think what Steve is saying is he doesn't believe those numbers will be sustained. He thinks they'll be better.
Thank you.
I'll speak for him. Because he's the person addicted to this.
Thanks, Miles. second question is on the Mandarin construction, and just in terms of the locations where you have installed those, because clearly it probably improves the level of lock-in that you have with that customer. Have you noticed an improvement in volumes in that they're probably presumably more tied into you and therefore less likely to go to other suppliers?
It is a specific type of construction, and it's not a short-term. It's not a short-term put the machines in and take them out. Some customers just in principle won't install our machines, say because then you're tied to that particular type of packaging. But there are other customers, and actually an increasing number of customers who just see the advantage through patented, it's protected, there's nothing else near that, and they can see the huge benefits that it gives them. And obviously we enjoy very, very long-term relationships with those customers. But it's not a short-term, just put it in and see if it works. This is a long-term trend behind ongoing investment. And we are very pleased with the way that Rock 10 has taken this up, because, as you know, in the US, the volumes are huge, the investment decisions are enormous, and you are signing up for quite a long time. So it's a very attractive business for our shareholders to be behind.
And just the last question in terms of looking at the sort of the next 6 months or 12 months in terms of a bridge. How much in terms of revenue growth do you think will come from sort of targeted volume improvement, and how much will come from sort of organic price versus an improvement in the mix as you move towards that FMCG business model?
Well, over the next 6 months, I mean, the questions you are having are very good questions. We'll outline an awful lot more about those when we come back with the whole sort of revenue picture. Because whilst we have our target, it's not a, you know, we've really got to see them coming through. As we know, with revenue, it's more outside of your control than cost. But we are seeing an improvement in the mix. That's part of we cut out business and people take more on. In terms of the markets and the volumes, we're seeing it's going to remain very tough. The minus 0.8 was probably a bit worse than we expected, but broadly expected to be pretty awkward. I mean, unfortunately, we're sort of in this position where you kind of plan for the worst and hope for the best. And we just don't see Europe really improving over the next 6 months or a year. We'd be delighted if it did, but we can't see the catalyst. Our customers aren't telling us that. So difficult position, us continuing to grow, driving some improvements in mix, but we will come back and outline a lot more detail about this, the segmentation, where we're going to be focusing, etc., in the first half of next year.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, it's Alex Hugh at UBS. I've got two, if that's right. First one, just wonder on the working capital side, the pro forma numbers, if it wasn't average over the last 12 months, what would the working capital over sales be?
So, well, effectively, they were twice that size. So the scale, they were at 10%, we were at 5%. Revenue was the same, pro forma would be 7.5%.
Okay. But if you just average it for the last 4 months, would that...
That was 7 now. Just 7,
yeah. Okay.
Four sixths of the steel packaging.
Okay, thanks. And then on the Rock 10 side, I wonder if you are able to talk more about the revenue opportunity and maybe whether or not anything's in the numbers for the last few months.
We've talked about, indeed, Rock 10 have made quite an announcement about it, not only to their shareholders, but their customers. And the way it's structured, there is some income from us in the first half. We don't outline it because it's not particularly material. It's all about the growth of that market, and as they're out there marketing, as I said, it's not a short term, somebody's just going to take it and try it. People are going to be looking at this, examining it, and actually the real potential of it comes over a number of years, just as it does with our existing business. We have hundreds of machines that have been installed throughout Europe. Interestingly, some of our customers have taken the machines themselves outside of Europe. But again, we just have to come back when we can really see who's going to take that, and that's where the revenue opportunity is for our shareholders. And you can imagine what the return is on those revenues, because there are very few associated costs. Quite an interesting model, isn't it? Licensing the technology that we're developing in Europe outside of Europe. Limited cost, straight revenue into us, and that fuels the research and investment budget that we have.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks, good morning. It's Alexander Mays from JP Morgan Cazenove. A couple of questions for you. Just firstly, with regard to the underlying pricing for corrugated, to the extent to which you are able to tell whether you're increasingly able to command a premium in like-for-like pricing because of your innovation and your market position, is that coming through?
What we see is we're not so integrated, and when we compare our margins to similar sort of mix of business, then our margins are doing quite well. You only really know that, of course, if you get a competitor closing up their books, which is not going to happen. Of course, we saw it very nicely with the SCA business, and about how we supply and how they did, and the relative prices, etc., and what customers really value. So we can see the opportunity there, and that's why we have industry-leading returns on capital. Those returns you're seeing with a huge acquisition in there. Last year on the legacy business was just under 15% in a difficult period, with more synergies, with more efficiency coming through on the legacy business. I think we see it in our results, we see it in our market share growth, but ultimately, unless we take somebody over, we don't actually know, we don't know what the comparative prices are.
And just secondly, on paper in the UK, clearly been a difficult period, not making any money in the first half. What's your medium-term outlook here? Do you expect this to be a driver of fall, or should we just expect it to be break-even for a while?
Break-even environment. Yeah. People who study the paper cycle would say it doesn't last like that for long, but equally their ability to predict when it changes is limited. At the end of the day, we're running a business set out to continue to grow. Our return, we're not relying on paper to do that.
And then just finally, I know it's on slide 27, you talk about revenue synergies over the medium term. I don't suppose you care to quantify that.
We're just reminding people that we see it from previous acquisitions, we've grown very nicely. We do have to come back to this, and again, it's only because of the transparency and being able to show people where it is, etc., and what it is. And at the moment, we're pleased with the response, but we do have to come back, I think, with a bit more flesh on the bone, rather than just sort of a few short term numbers. And we will be doing that. I think we've really got to understand where we are and what the business plans we built with each of the customers, and put some real substance behind it. that's our reference. It's not if we save things, it's going to go be delivered. That's a little vague, and that's why we'll come back next year.
I'll ask it again next time. Thank you.
Look forward to it. I think we've got just two more, and then we'll wrap up, and we'll be done within the hour.
Three questions, please. Mike Murphy at Numis Securities. First of all, on research and development of the Combine Group, what are you doing? Because I understand both businesses had a strong research and development effort. Secondly, on the plastics packaging, can you say of that 13.6% increase in revenue, can you split that out between volumes and prices and also FX? And then thirdly, you've alluded to, in the presentation, acquisitions and the fragmented nature of the European market. Wouldn't now be a good time, given the weak economic background, to be pushing that forward?
Well, do you want to take one and
two? R&D.
Do you FX? I'll take the easy one, the last one. We think now is the time. Most of the economy spend most of their time out of recession. We actually think that the product we sell, what we're selling, has a long-term demand and future. And therefore, you build and you develop your business with an eye to that. We think that the opportunity to build a stronger business is absolutely fantastic today, particularly for Dear Smith, with the wonderful support that we get from our banks and our shareholders. So the opportunities are there. In terms of our corrugated business, we've actually nearly tripled the size of it over the last 2.5 years since we've corrugated. And we're aware of many more opportunities. But we have just doubled the size of the company. We believe there is substantial value from shareholders to really developing and building a stronger business. And that's what we're focused on. But I've no doubt that there will be opportunities in the future, but we really have to get our business properly functioning at its optimum level, repaying the faith, the trust the shareholders have shown up through the results, through dividends, through cash flows, and we just need a longer period to really show that. But those opportunities are there, which others never know when they're going to come along. And sometimes they come along at the when it's not the optimum time, and we're aware of that. But those are the FX ones, please.
Okay. FX on plastics, Mike, 6.4 million negative. Okay, so volume's quite difficult because am I selling a 500 mil or 1 litre bag? Does it have a tap or not? So I tend to just try and.
Ballpark will do.
I don't. You know, we track the individual product lines in that, but to try and come up with a meaningful weighted average volume movement for plastics is, in any plastics business I've ever worked with or in, it's very difficult. So FX is 6.4. R&D, you're absolutely right about SCA Packaging had a actually spent a lot of money on R&D. Wasn't necessarily, we tend to go a lot to, rather than from the technology to find the customer, we tend to work from what the market wants back. But we haven't, in any of the synergies, there's nothing in there for R&D. So we're not trying to cut R&D to deliver those cost synergies. In terms of absolute amounts, frankly, I'd rather go through a budgeting process, so I'm, which is what we will do by the end of April. So I'll feel more comfortable in terms of quoting amounts there, because there's R&D at the centre, there's R&D in the individual businesses, there's R&D in the region, so I feel happier quoting them as after we've been through a budgeting process. So,
thank you.
Did you get them all? R&D? FX? R&D?
No, you don't have
to. I think there was is there one more question, then we'll go over to the any if there are any people on the wire. There's one more at the front here.
Karthik Swaminathan from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Thanks for taking my question. I was just curious as to a potential timeline for reducing your exposure to the paper cycle, and I understand that management are very committed to it, but a bit more colour on when that could materialise and in what form would be useful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're saying where we want to get to, exactly, you know, how we get there and over what time period we're not outlined, say, for a number of reasons. Always to say that we are very focused on it. That's all that we can. That's all that we're able to say today.
Thanks.
Nikki, are there any phone calls?
We have a question from the line of David O'Brien from Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, David O'Brien from Goodbody here. Just two quick questions for me, please. Firstly, just on the Italian business, you note that you're going to exit the sheep business there. Could you give us an idea of the scale of that in terms of revenue or profitability or maybe volumes? And secondly, just on the operating profit bridge, would it be possible to get that for the UK division stripped out as well?
Right, so if I take the first thing, take the second. What we said on the some of the sheet business, we're saying it's not attractive for shareholders, either in the today, next year, or the foreseeable future. We've cut it out of a lot of it out of DS Smith, and we need to do that in SCA. It actually amounts to 4%. Of revenues. It's not going to be immediately, contracts are there, etc., but we're saying it'll be up to 4% of the revenues will come out as we move from that business. Equally, we are growing elsewhere. So if we look at it over the last few months, we've grown volume despite some of the exits. There aren't any. We haven't announced any closures of any plants because of the sheep feeding issue. That's not. We haven't announced anything on that. There's no public announcement. No.
Yeah. Just on the UK division, then all of that drop is due to paper.
Yeah.
You think back to what we said about the scale in DS, the scale of the paper business. All of that drop is in the first half.
Okay, and was there much of an offset from, I suppose, declining OCC prices versus your paper prices coming off as well?
Yeah, well, effectively there you see declines in paper, declines in OCC, in terms of half year on half year.
And would that have fed through to corrugated prices as you move through half?
Sorry, can you say that question again?
Have you seen the weakness in corrugated pricing in the market as a result of, I suppose, weakness in your input costs?
I'll be touching that.
No, you've seen the price come up.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, which is in your ground.
Yeah, small amount. Not significant there.
Okay,
don't forget, we're trying to improve the mix all the time of what we're selling. Mm.
Right, so thank you.
Because the business isn't so integrated, the price of the box isn't so important to us. It doesn't show the value capture. What's important to us is the value we add in the box. Now, whether paper is high or low, it's passed forward and backwards. So we don't have that same level of exposure. But can I just, if that's everything, I'd just like to thank everybody for their time. You'll be around here afterwards, myself and Steve. My chairman Gareth is here, as always. But we're absolutely delighted to see you today, and I'll see you guys to a future project. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending today's conference. You may now replace your handsets.